Hi, I'm Dan Jones with CFWN in Cobourg, Ontario. Cobourg's homeless have experienced some very cold nights this month where wind chills have been recorded in the minus 20s. This is putting added pressure on the emergency shelter where overcapacity is forcing turned away homeless people into survival mode. Jordan Stevenson says people are finding warm places to stay where they are not allowed to be. Cobourg police are also feeling the heat to move people along. Stevenson discusses the advocacy work he is doing to improve the relationship between the homeless and the police.
There's no common place per se. It depends on the day. It depends on who's on duty in terms of the police, because that dictates where people are and are not allowed to stay. It's commonly on the bitter cold nights, you see places like bank vestibules and apartment lobbies where you have public access before you have to buzz in. Places like that, unfortunately, are a place of last resort for many. Now, that being said, there's a lot of pushback from these businesses and these residents because of the impacts that has. Those places aren't meant for shelter. And so, rightfully so, these residents and businesses don't want people loitering in their areas, and so it puts the police in an awkward position or an unfortunate position because they're being told that they have to move people along.
Now, clearly, there's got to be a bit of a middle ground here, maybe some compassion if some homeless may be sleeping in a vestibule or a lobby of an apartment building, but if they get up in time and not be noticed, that's one thing. But if they oversleep and notice, then that turns into a problem. So where do you see the common the factor here, the 50-50, I guess you can say?
Yeah, it's tough, because if it's found out, then, you know, an officer could get in trouble, you know, because it is a directive from management. So what is that middle ground? I mean, ultimately, it shouldn't be happening. Unfortunately, it is. And so, yeah, it's tough. And to ask a police officer to essentially dictate whether somebody's going to stay in a warm place or stay outside and freeze, it's just not fair. Really isn't.
Do you have any numbers on how many people would be on the street when the shelter is full on cold nights?
Completely depends on the day. It also depends on their capacity. They seem to change their capacity anywhere from 20 to 25 in the warming hub. Now, upstairs, the beds, that's a different capacity. And it depends on whether they let people in and fill that capacity up in the beds, or if they choose to have some beds empty. So, you know, it could be anywhere from a couple to, you know, 5, 10. And that's just the ones I know about. That's in Cobourg. There are many more that are hidden.
So then what are some of the homeless people telling you when you see them on the street, where they're sleeping, how they're making it? What are they telling you about the situation? Yeah, and maybe even goes further, maybe some discussions they have with police.
Yeah, so the interactions with police are usually kept to a minimum. There is a, you know, we talk about stigma a lot in the social services field. There's a stigma around police interactions as well. When you put on that uniform, you are removed from your personality and you become an officer in the eyes of the people that I work with. And so there's a reluctance to cooperate with police in any manner or interact with them in much of a sense. And so those interactions are, again, minimal. But a lot of what I'm hearing is just cries for help, unfortunately. And there's only so much we as an organization that isn't funded by the county can do to help people, especially in that given moment, other than do everything we can to keep them alive, be that providing hand warmers, emergency blankets. We do have emergency sleeping bags and cots for those super cold nights. And then judging if somebody needs to go to the hospital for cold exposure, so frostbite and things of that nature.
Now, are you finding in Cobourg that homelessness can be treated more as a criminal issue rather than a social issue?
I think people traditionally have wanted it, especially as of late, have wanted it to be treated as a criminal issue. It's not. There's such a complex dynamic when you're dealing with homelessness, especially when you add in mental health and addiction issues. Usually it's this multifaceted issue. Even just for one person, they could be having addiction issues that have led to mental health issues, and because of lack of sleep, it gets exacerbated. And so they are then more likely to commit criminal acts, and then it's criminalized. But as a whole, it shouldn't be treated as a criminal issue. And fortunately, a lot of police locally don't treat it necessarily as a criminal issue. They have that compassion, which goes a long way. But at the end of the day, that's their job is enforcement, and so they have to follow the rule of law. And so it then turns to the courts to, you know, figure it out. And unfortunately, that's another issue is the courts aren't necessarily set up the best for mental health cases. And so we see people incarcerated for long periods of time just because of mental health issues and addiction issues.
But wouldn't that be the cycle? I mean, if a homeless person gets ticketed for sleeping in the park or sleeping where they shouldn't be sleeping, they can't necessarily pay that ticket, or they don't go to court to address that ticket. A bench warrant's issued for their arrest. Now they're thrown in jail, but that's the cycle they keep. There's never really, they can't get away from that. How do you see that being addressed with the courts, but with police as well?
Police, I think, are just a small fraction or a small piece of the pie on this. It really boils down to the need for intensive supports. It's about not just sustaining people, but also moving them to a point of rehabilitation and reintegration into society. And, you know, it might be terse to say reintegration, but at this point, when people are struggling just to meet their basic needs, that's what it becomes. Moving somebody just simply into an apartment or into a bedroom doesn't solve the issues. There's still a cacophony of issues that remain, including mental health and addictions and just the experience of living homeless that needs to be addressed. And if we don't have a very intensive support system in place for each and every one of those people, then it's just going to be a cycle. And it is. That's unfortunately what we see local is the majority of people, as per the county's stats, are, they say, over 6 months homeless, which is chronically homeless. But I wish they would track further, because it's going on years for many folks. It's a continual issue. And even from a monetary standpoint, looking at just tax dollars expenditures, it would be more cost effective to have everybody, you know, focused on and provided case management that seeks to reintegrate them into society effectively, instead of just enabling this cyclical nature. And because of that, we're going to continue spending the same amount or more on the same individuals, rather than, you know, a one-time, let's spend, you know, X amount to get people out of homelessness. It's just, let's keep spending and we're sustaining. That's it.
Now, you made a presentation at the police board meeting a little while ago in February. And what came out of that is really no action by the police, or really no commitment of action. Just they heard your presentation. How does that make you feel?
We have a lot of talks in the back end. I understand completely that the police board legally can't interfere with operational matters at the end of the day. And I know Adam Bureau, the new chair of the board, well, and he is a very strong supporter of just the work we do in general. And so I know that if there was something the board could do or could have acted on, they likely would have, or it would have been discussed. But at the end of the day, you can't interfere with that legality or the board's mandate. And so actually right after that, I had a chance to talk with Chief Vandegraaff, and there is ongoing talks about an MOU being sorted out. So
yeah, I was going to segue into that. The MOU versus public enforcement and keeping people warm. Can you just give us a framework of what you imagining that would look like?
So knowing that police deal with strictly enforcement, we want to provide the tools to allow for an augmented response to incidents where people are just sleeping in the banks, or people are just outside. You know, they're not severely criminal. It's something that we can just assist with and also reduce the traumatic interactions that people face when dealing with the police. As I mentioned, people don't necessarily see the name behind the uniform or the badge. They see just a police officer in a uniform. And so us being there, providing that bridge, helps mitigate any the trauma response or the shutdown where it's just, you know, I see a cop, I'm just going to shut down and I don't want to deal with them.
Reporting for CFWN and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Dan Jones.